Steve Gruber is America's voice.
Well, somebody had to do it. You know, I was available. I wasn't doing much. I'll be America's voice. Why not? It is the 27th of November, and tomorrow you're going to take in large quantities of food, potentially. If you won't, I will, and I'll step up for seconds, too, if that's all right. I mean, every now and then, why not? And so this is a good time to talk about what's in your food, and no better to do that than Julie Gundlach from the Independent Women's Forum. Julie, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on. I saw that you met the president. I know you probably talked about it on the show, but quite impressive pictures there.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, we did meet the president. A week ago, we were in the Oval Office for an interview, which was
amazing.
It was amazing. And for anybody, and I've said this to other people, even if you don't like Donald Trump, the room, the desk, the history. I mean, you can't overlook all of that. And if Barack Obama's your guy, well, he was there too.
I don't want to derail our topic here.
No, that's all right.
I will say too, I watched the president this week in a meeting with vape advocates and actually those who are against vaping. He was incredibly thoughtful, kind, really on point in that meeting.
You mean he actually listened to both sides?
He listened to both sides, and he really, you could tell he really deeply understands the issue, mm-hmm. much more than, for instance, Mitt Romney, who showed that he really doesn't know anything about the issue in that meeting. But I was really impressed with his thoughtful questions and really his determination to let everyone speak, to listen to their feelings and concerns. He was just really, really magnanimous in that meeting, and I was very impressed.
You know, so people have asked me a lot of questions since we were there just over a week ago, last Tuesday. What was he like in person? He was engaged. He was on point. He was fun to be around. He had a good sense of humor. He was all of the things you wouldn't think about him based on the cartoon effigy that's out there of him every day. No, he's genuine and real and engaged to me and Ivy. We were both there.
Yeah.
And we really enjoyed it.
Well, they were great pictures, and I know that, again, it's a great interview that you got, and I agree with you that it had to have been overwhelming to be in that room, not only to meet him, but also to in the setting. So
sure.
Very
Absolutely.
Happy for you. Very impressed.
Thank you, Julie. I greatly appreciate that. I do. I don't know what I asked in the interview. I'm just glad I didn't pass out.
Yeah, I
mean, I've done a lot of interviews, and don't get me, you're a little overwhelming yourself some days, but, you know, I was in the Oval Office, so there was that. Anyhow.
Well, unlike me, I'm sure he let you get a word in edgewise. So.
One or two. Anyhow, Julie Gundlach here. I've been a contributor to the program for a long time, and we talk a lot about food, you and I do, and that's what you came here for. And, we've touched on antibiotics in meat, so, you know, obviously tomorrow a turkey and ham and maybe some beef here and there. So it's a good time to talk about antibiotics and beef and in meat. And you say there's truth and there are lies out there about this. So break it down for me.
There are. You're going to be at the market. You're going to have a lot of choices out there. And one thing that you have to be aware of is that there's a lot of competition in the market, even for meat products and dairy. And you'll see labels on there that say things like antibiotic-free. You need to know it's actually illegal to sell meat that contains antibiotics. So when they put that label on there, you can have the meat that's not labeled antibiotic free, which is probably cheaper,
is
also antibiotic free because again, it is illegal to sell meat that has antibiotic residue in it.
So so if you put a label on that said this meat is not spoiled or whatever, it would have the same effect because of course it's not spoiled. It's the way you buy fresh meat and you buy meat that has no antibiotics in it by law.
And this is the thing that what happens now. There's a push out there by anti meat groups,
right?
That you know vegetarian, PETA, okay, like animal rights groups that want they want all meat off the out of the marketplace, but there's this push to scare people, and so they say, oh, your food is pumped with these antibiotics. When an animal gets for instance, a dairy cow gets a metastasis in their breast, in their udders.
Right.
It's much like what women experience when they're breastfeeding.
Sure.
And you, just like women, you're given, it happened to me, and I was given antibiotics. Animals are given antibiotics as well.
Not a big deal.
Sure. Not a big deal. Now, the dairy farmer will then take that cow off the line, and there is a required amount of time, something like 10 days, that the animal cannot get on the line, cannot be pumped. And you know, they obviously milk the cow, but the milk is dumped.
Right.
Until that animal has totally, you know, there's been a cycle where it's he's metabolized that antibiotic.
And in fact, I know this to be true, that some of the larger operations, be it milk or meat or whatever it is,
they have
veterinarians on staff.
Absolutely. And they're constantly testing. So they will actually test that milk.
Correct.
That when that cow goes back on the line. But that's not the end of it. They test then each batch that is milked. They then test the entire, you know, you see these milk, you know, these big, you know, huge trucks going down the road filled with milk. Their tanks are filled with milk.
Stainless steel tankers.
That's also tested. And if there's any antibiotic residue in that entire tank, they will dump the whole thing.
Okay, going into things, and I appreciate that, and we've only got about a minute left, so I need you to answer for me one question, because it's perplexing to me, and it's confusing to me, and I don't understand it. So if you're a vegan or you're a vegetarian, and you don't want meat around, why the hell do you make products that look like meat? Why do you make fake burgers if you don't want a burger?
These food, what I call sort of orthodoxies, people that are so wedded to this. I mean, you have Burger King producing a meatless burger, which looks like a burger and tastes like a burger and bleeds like a burger. It's so weird. And then a vegan sues the company because it's being prepared on a grill that also serves meat. I mean, you can never do it enough to satisfy these people.
I have an idea. Eat somewhere else.
And I agree with you. I don't understand. If you're a vegan, if you are a vegetarian, why are you trying to eat, like, meat crumbles?
Right. Why do you want a hot dog or a burger? If you don't want burgers, why are you eating a burger?
Well, it's because, ultimately, these lifestyles are very hard for many people, and they think it's healthier. There is nothing wrong with animal protein for you. It's perfectly healthy.
That's correct.
But, again, there's a lot of information, a lot of bad information out there, so people sort of ascribe to these lifestyles, but they don't really want to. They want meat. They want
Everybody wants a burger. Let's not kid ourselves. And I love free-range organic red meat. I call that venison for people that are keeping score at home. That's kind of where we are. Julie, I got to leave it there. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
All right,
to you and
Ivy.
Family.
All right. Have a great holiday. We'll talk soon. Thank you so much.
No problem. Bye-bye.
All right. 25 after. Dr. Ben Carson right around the corner. Don't go anywhere. It's the Steve Gruber Show.